We have already used, so now it's used to us. We keep coming over it. So he said, he started asking him questions. He said, "O Muhammad." So he started by asking him with his first name, "O Muhammad." And they were used, the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, in a sense that sometimes the Bedouins would come like this and would be very courageous and daring in asking the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And as is said in some of their ahadith, that when they were prohibited, or they were told not to ask too many questions, so they used to like, "Can I ajibun ar-rajul min al-badiyah," that a man from the Bedouins would come in and ask questions and they would listen to him. So like the one who said, "O Muhammad, who sent you?" He said Allah. He said, "By Allah, I ask you, is he the one who sent you?" He said, "Yes." He said, "By Allah, yes." And he was raising his voice, and the Prophet ﷺ would answer him in a comparable voice. So he would raise his voice similar to what he was raising his voice. When the Sahaba know that, you know, they're not supposed to raise their voice with the Prophet ﷺ. And then he asked him about many things. Did Allah ask you to make that we should pray five prayers? And he said, "Yes." He said, "By Allah, I ask you." Did he ask you? And he says, "Yes." And he said, "Okay." And so in the hadith. So you see that when people have rough manners with the Prophet ﷺ, but they are strangers, they are from the Bedouins, from the desert, etc., the Sahaba would forgive them. So they would not, after they learned several lessons in that regard from the Prophet ﷺ, they would not be rough with them. They would just excuse them for being ignorant. So this man came and he was asking him so directly, stood so close to him, and he asked, "O Muhammad, what is iman?" So first he asked him about Islam, right? So I asked him about Islam, and he told him, "Islam is such and such that you believe that to shahada to Islam wa shahada Allah ila Allah wa iqam salat wa zakat, the five pillars of Islam." He said, "Sadaqt." You said the truth. So Umar says, فَعَجِبْنَا لَهُ يَسْأَلُهُ وَيُصَدِّقُهُ. He was surprised. He's asking him, when you ask somebody, that means you want to learn. But he was not, he did not want to learn. He wanted to, as if he was checking the knowledge of the Prophet ﷺ, testing him. What is the Islam? He tells him, he says, "Yeah, this is it." What is Iman? He tells him, "Yes, this is it. You are saying the truth." And then they know that the Prophet ﷺ doesn't say but the truth. So who is this man who is, you know, telling him you said the truth? Of course he said the truth. And then what is Ihsan? And he told him what is Ihsan. And then he told him, what is Sa'a? When will be the hour? He said, Man ma'lumu, man mas'ulu anha bi'ala min as-sa'il, which we, this text that we needed from this whole hadith. The one who is being asked about it doesn't know any better than the one who is asking him. He said, he asked him about its signs, an amaratiha. He said, as in the hadith, أن تلد الأمة ربتها وأن ترى الحفاة العراة العالة رعاء الشاء يطولون في البنيان, that the slave girl would give birth to her mistress, and that you see the very poor shepherds who are, you know, tend the sheep, the sheep, you find them building very tall buildings. And then ثم مضى. After that he left. It doesn't say whether in the last two questions he told him, you said the truth, but we understand from the whole context that probably this is the same as in the first three times. So after that ثم مضى فلبثنا مليا يعني أو يعني they stayed for a while silent. And as you heard in one of these reports, the Prophet ﷺ, after that he sent somebody to try to find that man who was asking him, but they could not find him. So when they came back, it seems that Allah revealed to him that this was Jibreel who came to you and asked you these questions. Because then he told Umar, he said, "Oh Umar, do you know who was that man?" He said, "Allah and His Messenger knows best." He said, "That was Jibreel. He came to you to teach you your deen." Okay, there are many things, many sayings by the people of the past about when the hour will be. And one of them even from the present, you know, ignorant people from the past and the present, they claim the knowledge of one the other is. And one of them was most recently Rashad Khalifa, who claimed that it'll be in the year 2100 or something like that, based on his calculations of the number 19 multiples and things like that. And you know, he was somewhat smart in that he put a date which is after his possible lifespan, so that nobody will tell him you lied during his lifetime.
They killed him, didn't they?
But he is dead now, alhamdulillah.
I said 2032, and it's not during his time.
2032? Okay, so assalamu alaikum. So he died about 40 years before that. Anyways, so Suyuti Filhawi, he said, after responding to the common question about from people that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam la yamkuthu fi qabrihi alf sana, he said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will not stay in his grave more than 1,000 years. That is what many people thought, or you know, it was common heresy among people that he will not stay more than 1,000 years. So he said, and I mean, the common people say that. Like in our time, they say تُأَلِّفْ وَلَا تُأَلِّفَانْ, it will be 1,000 but not 2,000. And you know, it's grammatically and linguistically it is a wrong statement,
historically
is wrong. If we, I don't know which year they are counting, the maybe the Hijri years.
But they mean this 2,000.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we still have one year or so, 2 years.
It's already 2,000.
What?
It's already 2,000. Because of some mistake in his calculation history, we are still in 1998.
Okay. He said, وَأَنَا أُجِيبُ بِأَنَّهُ بَاطِلٌ لَا أَصْلَ لَهُ, Suyuti says. I respond to this by saying this is baseless, there is no origin for it. And he said that he wrote a book in refuting this, and he said, أولا الذي دلت عليه الآثار أن مدة هذه الأمة تزيد عن ألف سنة ولا تبلغ الزيارة عليها 500 سنة. He said, what is proven by the reports is that this Ummah will live more than 1,000 years, will stay for more than 1,000 years, but that more, that additional time over 1,000 will not be more than 500 years. That's what Suyuti said. He said
this stuff is,
no, I mean, this just to show that, you know, there have been various assumptions or sayings, but not necessarily true. And Suyuti, as you know, he was one of the great scholars of this Ummah, and you know, he is, you know, of the few who wrote more books than anybody else in the history of Islam. He is, you know, I don't know, I mean, they say, if they mention a few names, among them is Suyuti. I don't remember the others, but maybe Ibn al-Jawzi, a few. I mean?
Tabari.
There are a few who wrote, you know, amazing number of books. You can't believe how could in their lifetime have written so many books in all possible subjects that you can think of. So they were encyclopedic in their knowledge, but that means that not all of their knowledge, of course, is filtered. So there is a lot of, you know, mistakes mixed with that knowledge. So anyways, he said, because لِأَنَّهُ وَرَدَ مِنْ طُرُقْ أَنَّ مُدَّةَ الدُّنْيَا 7,000 years. Because there have been reports that the life on this world will be 7,000 years. وَأَنَّ النَّبِيُّ بُعِثَ فِي أَوَاخِرِ الْأَلْفِ السَّادِسَةِ, and that the Prophet ﷺ was sent in the end of the 6,000. And then he mentioned some computations, the result of which is that, you know, this, that there will be 500 years left after the 1,000 years. And you know, this 7,000, I think, is from the Old Testament, right? I think it's from the Old Testament, from the Torah, which is the altered Torah.
Is it permissible to even speculate, knowing that only Allah knows? I mean, that wouldn't be like shirk, saying that like we're gonna be here another 1,000 years, knowing that only Allah knows.
We don't know how long we'll be. I mean, the Prophet ﷺ did not know.
So, I mean,
and he said, I came with our, as we mentioned the hadith, as we mentioned the hadith about, he said, وَأَثْتُ وَالسَّاعَتِكَ هَتَّيْنَ, I have been sent with the hour like these two fingers. And he said, I was sent, and the hour, both of us, I didn't know which one of us will come first, me or the hour, because of how close they were to each other. So then the Suyuti bring this hadith, which is a very daif, a mawdu'a hadith actually. Albani says about it that it is mawdu'a. He says, قال عن الضحاك بن زمل الجهني قال رأيت رؤيا. He said, I saw a dream. فقصصتها على رسول الله فذكر الحديث. So I mentioned it to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, and among it, with part of it is that إذا أنا بك يا رسول الله على منبر فيه سبع درجات. I saw you, Allah's Messenger, standing on a minbar with seven steps. وَأَنْتَ فِي عَلَاهَ دَرَجَةٌ. So I saw you on the last step. فَقَالَ أَمَّا الْمِنْبَرِ الَّذِي رَأَيْتَ فِيهِ سَبْعَ دَرَجَاتٌ وَأَنَا فِي أَعْلَاهَ دَرَجَةٌ فَالدُّنْيَا سَبْعَةُ آلَافٍ وَأَنَا فِي آخِرِهَا أَلْفًا. He said, as for that minbar that you saw, it is the life. It is 7,000 years and I am in the last 1,000 of it. It's موضوع, it's fabricated hadith.
Salaam
alaikum. Salaam alaikum wa rahmatullah. And so on, you know. So you see, when people say that they know when the hour will be, there are other things by some of the scholars of the past, but they are all baseless. And you know, in his computation, Suyuti continues to conclude how he derived these 500 years, and then here he refutes it by saying that it's not possible, because in our time there is, if we give time for the Dajjal to come out, for the Isa to come out and so on, that will not cover these whole years. We'll finish this section inshallah. قال ابن كثير والذي في كتب الإسرائيليين وأهل الكتاب من تحديد ما سلف بألوف ومئتين من السنين قد نص غير واحد من العلماء على تخطئتهم فيه وتغليطهم, وهم جديرون بذلك حقيقون به. وقد ورد في حديث الدنيا جمعة من جمع الآخرة ولا يصح إسناده أيضا. وكذلك كل حديث ورد فيه تحديد لوقت يوم القيامة على التعيين لا يثبت إسناده. هذا في كتاب النهاية لابن كثير. So he says, Ibn Kathir, whatever was mentioned in the books of the Israelis and the people of the book about specifying what has passed by some thousand and hundreds of years, by exact time, many of the scholars have declared that they are wrong in that, and they deserve that. They hum jadirun bidhalik, which means, you know, they deserve to be wrong because they alter their books and they base their statements on no knowledge at all. And so on. And then he says at the end, every hadith that came or that was reported, which gives specific time for the hour, لا يثبت إسناده, does not have an authentic إسناد. And just as we do not know when the hour will be, we do not know either when its signs will appear. We do not know when the signs will appear, even though, you know, when they appear, we know that this is one of the things that the Prophet ﷺ has foretold us about. And Al-Qurtubi says, إنما أخبر به النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من الفتن والكوائن أن ذلك يكون, وتعيين الزمان في ذلك من سنة كذا يحتاج إلى طريق صحيح يقطع العذر, وإنما ذلك كوقت قيام الساعة فلا يعلم أحد أي سنة هي ولا أي شهر. أما أنها تكون في يوم الجمعة وآخر ساعة منه, وهي الساعة التي خلق الله فيها آدم, فهذا معلوم يعني, ولكن أي جمعة لا يعلم تعيين ذلك اليوم إلا الله وحده. Same meaning, which means that Al-Qurtubi is saying that it is not possible to specify or to know exactly when the neither one the hour is will be, or any of its signs will appear. The only thing we can know is that it will be on a Jum'ah, on a Friday, when it will come, because of the hadith which mentions that. As for when these signs will appear, it's something that only Allah knows about. Allahu a'lam. Yeah, people commit shirk out of ignorance. As you know, people who go and make dua to the dead people, they are ignorant. They think that they can benefit them somehow. And this is shirk. This is an act of shirk. But, you know, their only excuse is, those Muslims who do it, is that they do not know. They have not been told better. And many of them, when you teach them and explain to them, they change, they stop. Okay, the last thing here before, and this is a very short section before we get into the actual subject of the signs of the hour, next time inshallah. And as I said, we will start with the minor signs, and that is what we'll be spending all the time, or most of the time, on week after week inshallah, taking one or two signs every time, many of which we have witnessed, have been witnessed in the past, or we are currently witnessing. And some of them, you know, accumulate with time, like qillatul ilm, that the knowledge will be raised gradually, and the jahl will spread, and ignorance will spread. This you see all the time, increasing more and more. And there are things that have not happened, but will happen in the future. Allahu a'lam. So, the last thing that we discussed before we get into that is qurbu qiyam as-sa'ah, that the doom's hour, regardless of when it's going to be, we know for sure that it is very close. Very close. How close? Allahu a'lam. But we know it's very close, and we should have that in our minds, in our hearts. As Allah Azza wa Jal tells us again and again, اقتَرَبَ لِلنَّاسِ حِسَابُهُمْ وَهُمْ فِي غَفْلَةٍ مَعْرِضُونَ. The reckoning for people, their hisab, their judgment has come very close, but they are in ghafla. They are in ignorance, or in unawareness about that, turning away from it. And Allah says, وَمَا يُدْرِيكَ لَعَلَّ السَّاعَةَ تَكُونُ قَرِيبًا. What makes you know? Maybe the hour, that the hour might be very close. And he says, إِنَّهُمْ يَرَوْنَهُ بَعِيدًا وَنَرَاهُ قَرِيبًا. They see it very far, but we see it very close. And he says, اقْتَرَبَتِ السَّاعَةُ وَانْشَقَّ الْقَمَرُ. The hour has come close, and the moon has split. And so on. There are so many ayat that tell us about the close, that our life, this world, is close to its end. And that it is the time to move to the next life is approaching very quickly. And as the Prophet ﷺ said in the hadith that we mentioned earlier, بُعِثْتُ وَالسَّاعَةَ كَهَاتَيْنِ, and he opened and put his two fingers together, فَيَمُدُّهُمَا. This is in Sahih al-Bukhari. And he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, بُعِثْتُ فِي نَسَمِ السَّاعَةِ. بُعِثْتُ فِي نَسَمِ السَّاعَةِ, which means, I have been sent in the blows of the hour, or in the winds of the hour, in the breezes of the hour. This is in Sisad al-Hadith Sahiha, number 808, he says here. And Ibn Umar and the Prophet ﷺ said, إِنَّمَا أَجَلُكُمْ فِي أَجَلِ مَنْ خَلَى مِنَ الْأُمَمْ مَا بَيْنَ صَلَاتِ الْعَصْرِ وَمَغْرِبِ الشَّمْسِ. Which means your lifespan of this ummah, that is, compared to that of the previous nations, of the previous ummah, like the time between the Asr prayer to the Maghrib prayer. And Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma said, كنا جلوسا عند النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم والشمس على قعيقعان والشمس على قعيقعان. بلفظ التصغير, جبل بمكة في جنوبها بنحو 12 ميلا وسمي قعيقعان, يعني لأن جرهما لما تحاربوا كثرت قعقعة السلاح هناك. القعقعة يعني بدل قعقعان قعيقعان يعني صغرت. ويظهر أن كلام النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم هذا كان في حجة الوداع. So a mountain to the south of Al-Madina of Mecca called قعيقعان, they were there, he says, with the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم sitting after Asr. So he said, ما أعماركم في أعمار من مضى إلا كما بقي من النهار وفيما مضى منه. He said, your life spans compared to those who went before you of the nation, that is like whatever has, is left from the day compared to what has already gone. And this tells that whatever, and these are the words of Ibn Kathir rahimahullah in Al-Nihaya, ما بقي بالنسبة إلى ما مضى شيء يسير. Whatever has remained or remains compared to what has gone is very little. ولكن لا يعلم مقدار ما مضى إلا الله تعالى. But no one knows what passed except Allah. ولم يجئ فيه تحديد يصح سنده عن المعصوم صلى الله عليه وسلم حتى يصار إليه. There is no report authentically coming from the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم as to how long the life of the world has been, you know, since from the beginning to our time. But what we know is whatever that what is left is very small compared to what has passed. And the most, eloquent way, or one of the eloquent ways in putting it, is what the Prophet ﷺ said in this Hassan hadith. He said, بُعِثْتُ أَنَا وَالسَّاعَةَ جَمِيعًا, I have been sent with the hour together. إِنْ كَادَتْ لَتَسْبِقَنِي, إِنْ كَادَتْ لَتَسْبِقَنِي, it almost, you know, raised me or reached, came before me. So this points to the closeness of the hour. And since we still have a couple of minutes, let me make the definitions of Ashrat al-Sa'ah so that inshallah next time we can immediately start with them. معنى الشرط بالتحريك هو العلامة. الشرط means the sign or the condition also. وأشراط الشيء أوائله, وأشراط الشيء أوائله, the signs of the thing, the word شرط means the beginnings of it, things that come in the beginning. ومنه شرط السلطان وهم نخبة أصحابه الذين يقدمهم على غيرهم من جنده. So شرطة or شرط السلطان means the first, those who come first. ومنها condition also is the thing that you put ahead of any agreement, conditions. فالشرط علامة على المشروط, the شرط, the condition is an indication of that for which the condition was put. So when we say أشراط الساعة means the thing that came to precede, the thing that precede the ساعة or the hour. ومعنى الساعة في اللغة هي جزء من أجزاء الليل والنهار, جمعها ساعات وساعة. ساعة means one of the parts of the day or night. وَالنَّهَارُ وَالْلَيْلُ وَالنَّهَارُ مَعَنْ أَرْبَعًا وَعِشْرِينَ سَاعَةً, as we know, أَرْبَعًا وَعِشْرِينَ سَاعَةً, the day and night are 24 hours. But in اصطلاح الشرعي المراد also ساعة means a time period in the language, in the linguistic meaning. في الاصطلاح الشرعي الوقت الذي تقوم فيه القيامة, it is the time when the قيامة will arise. وسميت بذلك لسرعة الحساب فيها أو لأنها تفجأ الناس في ساعة فيموت الخلق كلهم بصيحة واحدة. So it is because it comes suddenly so that everybody will die at once. فأشراط الساعة هي علامات القيامة التي تسبقها. So the signs of the hour are the indications of the resurrection, and they are the ones which come before that and which tell, indicate that it's coming closer. والساعة تطلق على ثلاث معان. ساعة refers to three different meanings. الساعة الصغرى, and we also as mentioned القيامة الصغرى, وهي موت الإنسان. فمن مات فقد قامت قيامته لدخوله في عالم الآخرة. This is based on a hadith that I referred to earlier. So الساعة الصغرى أو القيامة الصغرى, it is when every one of us dies. When we die, that means our qiyamah, our hour has arrived for the individual person. وَالسَّاعَةُ الْوُسْطَى هِيَ مَوْتُ أَهْلِ الْقَرْنِ الْوَاحِدِ. This is السَّاعَةُ الْوُسْطَى, or the intermediate hour, is when the people of one generation all die, as the Prophet ﷺ said, إِنْ يَعِشْ هَذَا لَمْ يُدْرِكْهُ الْهَرَمُ قَامَتْ عَلَيْكُمْ سَاعَتُكُمْ. He pointed to a little boy or a little child, and he said, if this lives all the time till his death approaches, then your sa'ah, your hour will come. As-sa'ah al-kubra, the major hour, is when people will be resurrected from their graves, everyone, for the reckoning, for the judgment. So this is what the signs of the hour refer to, and this is what we'll be discussing inshallah. So when we talk about the hour without restricting it or qualifying it, then we mean As-sa'at al-kubra, or the major hour, which means when everybody dies, the doom's hour. And this is what we are, what the discussion will be all about. The signs, when we say the signs of the hour, it means the signs of the doom's hour, or the major hour. And these signs are divided into two types: Ashrat al-sa'a al-sughra wa Ashrat al-sa'a al-kubra, the minor signs of the hour and the major signs. The minor signs, هي التي تتقدم الساعة بأزمان متطاولة, they are the ones which precede the doom's hour with lengthy periods of times. وتكون من نوع المعتاد, and it is usually something which is familiar, you know, or it is not as, you know, astonishing as the others. It doesn't come suddenly like the others. كقبض العلم, like the taking away of the knowledge. وظهور الجهل, and the spread of ignorance. وشرب الخمر, and drinking alcohol. والتطاول في البنيان, and to build large buildings or high buildings, and so on. And some of them will accompany the major signs, as we will see. The second class are the major signs of the doom's hour, Ashrat al-Sa'a al-Kubra. وَهِيَ الْأُمُورُ الْعِظَامُ الَّتِي تَظْهَرُ قُرْبَ قِيَامِ السَّاعَةِ. They are the major things, the major matters that will appear close to the doom's hour. وَتَكُونُ غَيْرَ مُعْتَادَةِ الْوُقُوعِ, and they are matters that are not familiar to happen. كظهور الدجال ونزول عيسى وخروج يأجوج ومأجوج وطلوع الشمس من مغربها, like the appearance of الدجال, the descendants of Isa, the appearance of يأجوج and مأجوج, the rising of the sun from the west, and so on. Some scholars refer also to Ashrat al-Sa'a, the signs of the hour, as being of three types. One type is that which has already appeared and is over, another which has appeared and still is in the process of happening, and the third is that which has not appeared yet. But what will be discussed, or the classification that will be followed in this book, is, or in this discussion, is these major two classes, Ashrat al-Sughra and Ashrat al-Kubra, the minor signs and the major signs. And as we said several times before, our concern will be most with the minor signs, because the major signs are very frequently addressed by various people. Some scholars try to order the minor signs of the hour in a chronological way. And this is possible for some, others it's not possible for others. And for some of them it is obvious where their order comes, or where they are supposed to be. So whenever such a case happens, it will be mentioned during the discussion. But here there will not be a specific attempt to order them in chronological order, even though in general that will be the attempt, that if we know where a sign falls historically, we will mention it before others that would follow after it. Okay, so the first one mentioned here is Ba'athat al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So now we start our discussion of the signs of the hour, and the first one we mention is Ba'athat al-Nabi, the advent of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or the sending of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He akhbara anna ba'athatahu dalilun ala qirbi qiyam as-sa'ah. He said that his coming is a sign of the hour, or an indication of the closeness of the hour. وَأَنَّهُ نَبِيُّ السَّاعَ, and that he is the prophet of the hour. So in the hadith of Sahl radiallahu anhu, he said, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, بُعِثْتُ أَنَا وَالسَّاعَةَ كَهَتَيْنَ, I have been sent, I and the hour, like these two fingers. وَيُشِيرُ بِإِصْبَعِهِ فَيَمُدُّهُمَا, and he pointed with his two fingers and extended them. This is in Bukhari. The two fingers, the what you call this?
Index.
The index and the middle finger. وعن أنس رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بعثت والساعة أنا والساعة كهاتين قال وضم السبابة والوسطى. I have been sent, he said, this is also similar reported by Anas radiallahu anhu, he said, I was sent, I have been sent with the hour like these two, and he put together as-sababa, the index, and al-wusta, the middle finger. وعن قيس بن أبي حازم عن أبي جبيرة مرفوعا بعثت في نسم الساعة, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I have been sent with the nasam of as-sa'ah, with the nasam of the hour. And nasam means it is from nasim, huwa awwalu hubub ar-rih ad-da'if. It is in the beginning when the wind starts blowing lightly. Yeah, which means before the Yeah, when it is a light breeze before it becomes a strong wind. So it means that he has been sent in the beginning of the signs of the hour. أي بعثت في أول أشراط الساعة وضعف مجيئها وقيل هو جمع نسمة. And also it is said that نسم is the plural of نسمة. أي بعثت في ذوي أرواح خلقهم الله تعالى قبل اقتراب الساعة, كأنه قال في آخر النشء من بني آدم. With this second meaning, it means that I have been among the souls that were sent close to the doom's hour, which means in the last generations of the human beings. So it is. It could be either of the two meanings.
From
the language meaning. Linguistically, it could have applied to both. But it is nasam from nasim and nasam from nasma, which means the soul or the spirit. So, بَعِثْتُ فِي نَسَمِ السَّاعَةِ فَأَوَّلُ أَشْرَاطِ السَّاعَةِ بَعْثَةُ الْمُصْطَفَى صلى الله عليه وسلم. The first, therefore, the first of the signs of the hour is the sending of the chosen one, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he is the last prophet. There is no prophet after him. And the hour comes, follows him like the finger, these two fingers follow each other. وَلَيْسَ بَيْنَهُمَا إِصْبَعٌ أُخْرَى, without any finger in between them. أَوْ كَمَا يَفْضُلُ أَحَدُهُمَا الْأُخْرَى, or as one of them is longer than the other. ويدل على ذلك رواية الترمذي. This is as indicated by the تحفة الأحوذي, by the author of تحفة الأحوذي, شرح جامع الترمذي. He takes or chooses this meaning, which means that he compared himself with the hour like these two fingers compare each other with length. So it's coming, and there is only little length, additional length of time that will, you know, will elapse before the hour comes. This is indicated by the report in a Tirmidhi, in which he says, "بعثت أنا والساعة كهاتين وأشار أبو داود بالسبابة والوسطى فما فضل أحدهما على الأخرى." So he said, I have been sent like these two fingers, and he put them together and he said, how much longer is one of them over the other? Which means they are not much different in length, which means I'm so close to the end. وفي رواية مسلمة مسلم قال شعبة وسمعت قتادة يقول في قصصه كفضل إحداهما على الأخرى فلا أدري أذكره عن أنس أو قاله قتادة. شعبة one of the narrators of Muslim, of Imam Muslim rahimahullah. So Muslim says that Shaba said, salam rahimahullah, I heard Qatada say in some of his narrations that it is as the difference between the two fingers. So I'm not sure whether he mentioned that he heard this from Anas or it was his own statement, that is the Qatada's own understanding. The hadith which we mentioned a little earlier in Tirmidhi, it is considered by Tirmidhi himself to be Hasan al-Sahih, and we have no further comment about it except what Tirmidhi said, which is that it is Hasan Sahih, which is Hasan, you know, in other words. قال القرطبي قرطبي رحمه الله said, أولها النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لأنه نبي آخر الزمان وقد بعث وليس بينه وبين القيامة نبي. First science is the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, because he is the Prophet of the end of time, and he has been sent without any other Prophet between him and the hour. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ما كان محمد أبا أحد من رجالكم ولكن رسول الله وخاتم النبيين. Muhammad is not the father of any of your men, but rather he is Allah's messenger and the final or the seal of the prophets. So this is the first of the signs of the hour. Any questions about this before we go to the next one? Okay. So the second, then let's go to the second one inshallah. And second out of about 50 some that are mentioned in this book, 60, almost 60 signs. 57. So now we go to number 2. Yeah. So number 2 is the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the passing of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. من أشراط الساعة موت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. ففي الحديث عن عوف بن مالك رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أعدد ستا بين يدي الساعة. This have an indicated light.
No, we can see.
Yeah, please keep an eye on it, because when the battery runs off it stops by itself suddenly. So he says he said صلى الله عليه وسلم to عوف بن مالك or to whoever was in that city, he said, count between me and the hour 6 signs. He said, count 6 signs. And this hadith will be coming again, so we do not have to mention them all now. And he did not mention except the first one, because it is the one relevant in this discussion. He says, Moti, the first one, my death. And then he mentioned the others.
And this one of the 6 signs, his death is.
Yeah, of the 6 signs that he mentioned in that hadith. In that hadith he mentioned some of the major signs, but this is one of them that we consider as the minor sign, which is his death صلى الله عليه وسلم. فقد كان موت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من أعظم المصائب التي وقعت على المسلمين. فقد أظلمت الدنيا في عيون الصحابة رضي الله عنهم عندما مات عليه الصلاة والسلام. The death of the Prophet ﷺ was one of the most disastrous incidents that happened to the Muslims, and this whole life turned dark in the eyes of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum when at the time of his passing عليه الصلاة والسلام. Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu said, لما كان اليوم الذي دخل فيه رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم المدينة أضاء منها كل شيء On the day when the Prophet ﷺ entered Medina, he says, that is when he made hijrah to Medina, everything in it became bright or lighted. فَلَمَّا كَانَ الْيَوْمُ الَّذِي مَاتَ فِيهِ أَظْلَمَ مِنَّهَا كُلُّ شَيْءٍ. And on the day when he passed, everything in it turned dark. وَمَا نَفَضْنَا عَنْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ الْأَيْدِي وَإِنَّ لَفِي دَفْنِهِ حَتَّى أَنْكَرْنَا قُلُوبَنَا. He said, and we did not even finish burying him, and you know, نَفَضْنَا الْأَيْدِي, which means like, you know, you clean your hands or shake your hands from the dust of the burial when you bury somebody. So he said, we did not finish cleaning our hands from the dust until from his burial, after burying him, until we could not recognize our hearts, which means, you know, they felt some difference in their hearts or some sadness, unbelievable sadness or something like that. Ibn Hajar rahimahullah said, يريد أنهم وجدوها تغيرت عما عاهدوه في حياته من الألف من الألفة الألفة والصفاء والرقة بفقدان ما كان يمدهم به من التعليم والتأديب. Ibn Hajar in Fath al-Bari says that means that they found their hearts different from what they have used to or have been used to. Their hearts were used to during his life of friendship and clarity and tenderness, because they lacked at that from that time that the thing that used to give them or nourish them with knowledge and ta'dib, which means giving them the direction and guidance. فبموته صلى الله عليه وسلم انقطع الوحي من السماء.
مطلب منه شيء.
Can you pause it a little bit? I remember something. No, you can leave it on. Doesn't matter. I'll mention it. You know, after the khutbah today, something interesting, funny a little bit happened among the ladies. One of the sisters, she was complaining about the khutbah. She said, what is this? Why should a man cry like a cry baby? Why should Muslims be? Muslims are not supposed to be emotional like that. And this is, we should not be fearing Allah. This is
Salaam. We should not be fearing Allah.
She said we shouldn't fear Allah. We should have consciousness of Allah, but not fear. A Muslim should never fear Allah. And she was saying, what is this? Show off and crying and all that. So anyways, that reminded me now. Allahu Akbar. So anyways, we continue with our discussion here. The first one of them is his death. And he mentions, I don't remember now, that it will come inshallah. Six things that will happen. Oh. Among them, I believe he mentions that Dajjal and the coming of Isa and these
other more major signs, but this was one of the minor.
According to our classification now. That these are, I mean, he mentions six very important things that will happen, and one of them, of course, is his passing, the first one of them. So, فَبِمَوْتِهِ انْقَطَعَ الْوَحْيُ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ. With his death, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the revelation ceased from the heavens. كَمَا فِي جَوَابِ أُمِّ أَيْمَنْ لِأَبِي بَكْرٍ وَعُمَرَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهَا عِنْدَمَا زَارَاهَا بَعْدَ مَوْتِ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. As was the answer of Ayman to Abu Bakr and Umar when they visited her after the Prophet ﷺ passed. فَلَمَّا انْتَهَيَا إِلَيْهَا بَكَتْ. When they reached her place or her house, she cried. And this hadith, says that Abu Bakr said to Umar, or one of them said to the other, he said, انْطَلِقْ بِنَا, I think Abu Bakr said, انْطَلِقْ بِنَا نَزُورُ أُمَّ أَيْمَنْ. كما كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يزورها. He said, let us go and visit Ayman, one of the Sahabiyat, one of the older women, one of the old women that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم used to take care of her and see if she needs any help or anything like that. And if you know, we can find some more about her seerah, being one of the important Sahabiyat. Anyways, so they said, let us go انطلق بنا نزور أم أيمن. Let us go and visit أم أيمن the way that the Allah's Messenger used to visit her. So they went together, and then when they reached her house, she started crying. They said, ما يبكيك ما عند الله خير لرسوله. They said, why are you crying? What Allah has in store for His Messenger is better than what He had in this life, that is. So don't cry for that he died. Or in another report it says, are you crying because that the Prophet ﷺ died or passed? She said, no. ما أبكي ألا أكون أعلم أنما عند الله خير لرسوله. I'm not crying because I do not know that what Allah has in store for His Messenger is better. So that's not what I'm crying. ولكني أبكي أن الوحي قد انقطع من السماء. But I'm crying because the revelation has ceased to come from the heavens. فهيجتهما على البكاء فجعلا يبكيان معه. So by saying that you know moved them to cry, so they were crying with her. فقد مات عليه الصلاة والسلام كما يموت الناس لأن الله تعالى لم يكتب الخلدة أو الخلودة في هذه الحياة لأحد من الخلق. Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم died like other people die, because no one has been given or granted to permanence in this life, to live forever in this life. No human being, that is, or no creature of Allah. بل هي دار ومر لا دار مقر. It is a place of passing, not a place of dwelling and abiding. As Allah Azza wa Jalla said, وما جعلنا لبشر من قبرك الخلد أفإن مت فهم الخالد أفإن مت فهم الخالدون. We have not made خلد. What's خلد?
Eternity.
Eternal life, we have not granted eternal life for any human being before you. So, is it that if you die, they will be eternal? كل نفس ذائقة الموت. Every life will taste death. And other ayat that indicate that death is a reality, is a truth that will happen to everyone, even if it were the best of the creation, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. وكان موته كما قال القرطبي أول كان موته أول أمر دهم الإسلام ثم بعده موت عمر فبموت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم انقطع الوحي وماتت النبوة وكان أول ظهور الشر بارتداد العرب وغير ذلك وكان أول انقطاع الخير وأول نقصانه. So as Qurtubi said, his death was the first major disaster that happened to Islam, and it was followed after that by the death of Umar radiallahu anhu. By the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the revelation ceased, the prophethood ended, and it was the beginning of appearance of evil by many of the Arabs, turning back from Islam and other things. وكان أول انقطاع الخير. It was the beginning of the ceasing of goodness or its reduction. قال أبو بكر الصديق رضي الله عنه. He said, فلتحدثن حوادث من بعده تعنى بهن جوانح وصدور. This is a poem or a line of poetry that Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu said, which means there will happen incidents after him that will affect the chests and, you know, the bodies of the people. وقالت صفية بنت عبد المطلب رضي الله عنها لعمرك ما أبكي النبي لفقده ولكنما أخشى من الهرج آتيا. Safiya bint Abdul Muttalib, his aunt, the aunt of the Prophet ﷺ, she said, by your life, there's an expression that they used to, the Arabs say, to emphasize what they are saying. She said, by your life, I'm not, and it's not meant to be a qasam, an oath, okay? So it's not an oath, it is just an expression, a common expression that they used to say, emphasizing or bringing that to the attention, the importance of what they would say. So she said, by your life, I'm not crying for the Prophet ﷺ because we lost him, but because of what I am afraid of the disasters or the turmoils that will happen after him. Al-harj, al-qatl, killing. Yeah, that's right. The killing that will happen after that. So this is the second of the signs of the hour, the minor signs of the hour. As we said, the first was the advent of the Messenger ﷺ, and the second, his death, his passing. What? Any questions on these two before we keep going?
The first one, I'm sorry.
His coming, his advent. Okay. The third one, Fath Bayt al-Maqdis. And as we said, it is not necessary that these are in chronological sequence, even though there is some attempt in the book to put them in such a way. Fath Bayt al-Maqdis, conquering Bayt al-Maqdis, Jerusalem. من أشراط الساعة فتح بيت المقدس فقد جاء في حديث عوف بن مالك رضي الله عنه أنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أعدد ستا بين يدي الساعة فذكر منها فتح بيت المقدس. So now you got the second of the six in this hadith. The first was موتي, and this is one of them, فتح بيت المقدس. No, I didn't mention it in that hadith. So he said in the hadith of Awf bin Malik radiallahu anhu that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, count six things between now and the hour, and he mentioned one of them, the conquering of Bayt al-Maqdis. And at the time of Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu, Bayt al-Maqdis was conquered on the year 16 of Al-Hijrah. On the year 16 of Al-Hijrah, which means what, like 6 years after the passing of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. 16. So it's like 6 years after the passing of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as the imams or scholars of Sirah mention. And
Bayt al-Maqdis is Jerusalem.
Jerusalem, yeah. So Umar radiallahu anhu went by himself and had the agreement with the people of Jerusalem and opened it and cleaned it from the Jews and the Christians and built a masjid in the Qibla of Bayt al-Maqdis, which means in the major section of Bayt al-Maqdis, as in al-Bidaya wa al-Nihaya. Imam Ahmad rahimahullah reported from via the way of Ubayd ibn Adam that he heard Umar ibn Khattab say to Ka'b al-Ahbar, Aina tara an usalli. Ka'b al-Ahbar is Ka'b bin Mati' al-Humayri min Awiyat al-Alam. He was a great scholar and one of the greatest scholars of the people of the book. He embraced Islam at the time of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, and he came to Medina at the time of Umar radiallahu anhu. Then he lived in Sham, and he died during the Khilafah of Uthman radiallahu anhu when he was over 100 years old. And he used to narrate many of the narrations, a lot of narrations of Israeliyat, which means narrations that come from the books and the reports of the people of the book, the Israeli books before Islam. Mm-hmm. And many of them are not acceptable in isnad, in validity, in the narration chain. وَلَيْسَ لَهُ فِي الْبُخَارِ رِوَايَةٌ وَفِي مُسْلِمْ رِوَايَةٌ لِأَبِي هُرَيْرَةَ. There is no hadith in Bukhari for him, There's only one hadith in Muslim, in Sahih Muslim, from him to Abu Huraira.
What was his name?
Ka'b al-Ahbar. So many of the narrations you see Ka'b al-Ahbar, they're usually, you know, they say Ka'b al-Ahbar said that such and such thing happened or will happen. It's usually something that he took from their book, from their books, and because he spent most of his life, you know, specializing in the Torah and the Old Testament and the Talmud and all these books of the Jews.
Before he became Muslim.
Before he became Muslim, right? Yeah, he was scholar of there, of Judaism, Ka'b al-Ahbar, Habr, he was Habr of the Jews, like a great rabbi. So after, you know, embracing Islam, when he was very old, he was probably about 80 years old, if he died at the time of Uthman, so he probably was about 80 years when he became Muslim, so he was already saturated with all the knowledge or information that he had from before. So Ubayd bin Adam said, I heard Umar bin Khattab telling Ka'b al-Ahbar, Aina tara an usalli? Where do you suggest that I pray? قال إن أخذت عني صليت خلف الصخرة فكانت القدس كلها بين يدي. So if you want to listen to me, you should pray behind the rock so that all of Jerusalem will be in front of you. فقال عمر ضاهيت اليهودية لا ولكن أصلي حيث صلى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. So he said, you are being influenced, or you are imitating or thinking like the Jews by telling me to do that. I will not do this, but I will pray where the Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم prayed. فتقدم إلى القبلة فصلى ثم جاء فبسط رداءه. So he went to the قبلة and faced قبلة and prayed where the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم prayed, which is Bayt al-Maqdis, which is Masjid al-Aqsa, and then he prayed there facing the Qibla, which means the Mecca south. ثم جاء فبسط رداءه فكنس الكناسة في ردائه وكنس الناس. So after that he فصلى ثم جاء فبسط رداءه. Then he came, after he prayed, he spread his garment, his rida, his upper garment, and he cleaned the place with it by that, and then the other people did the same, which means Allahu A'lam that they cleaned the place to establish the masjid there, to rebuild or build Masjid al-Aqsa in that place.
There's something in that place, it used to be like a place for Jews and the Christian and the Romans, especially Christian, the first time was Christianized at that time, and they used, because it was holy for the Jews, they used to make it dirty.
The Christians. Yeah,
so it used to be a dumpster over there.
Ah, subhanAllah.
So that's why they make canasa, they clean the whole area.
Okay.
The Muslims clean the whole area. The Jews at that time in Jerusalem were very much oppressed.
Uh-huh.
And if you remember also the patriarch of Jerusalem, he made a condition to Umar that if you enter the city, you kick all the Jews. Don't let one Jew live in Jerusalem.
No.
That was one of their conditions, the treaty between Christian and Muslim.
So how?
Yeah.
He did. Okay, so this was the third sign, and now the fourth sign, Ta'un Amwas. Amwas, بلدة في فلسطين على ستة أميال من الرملة على طريق بيت المقدس. The plague of Amwas. And Amwas is a town in Palestine. It's 6 miles away from Ramla, on the way to Jerusalem. On the way to Jerusalem. So where would that be? Anybody knows where?
Yeah. That's north. It's west of Jerusalem.
To the west?
To the west. North,
the west.
West, a little bit to the north.
Okay.
Ramla is very close to Bab al-Lud.
Lud. I thought Lud is to the east of Jerusalem. Is it west? Really?
Lud the west.
Oh. That's a specialty geography.
Geography.
Lud, isn't Lud where
the Jews be killed?
Yeah, well, there it is, airport.
But isn't that Tel Aviv airport?
No. Lud military airport, I guess.
Oh, okay.
But it's to the in the direction of Jordan.
Direction to the Mediterranean.
To the west, yeah. Oh, that's right. Okay,
west of Jerusalem. Yeah.
Okay.
To the north a little bit.
Northwest of Jerusalem.
It's west to the north.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's in the direction of Tel Aviv then.
An airport?
Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
That's where the guy is going to be killed. He will catch him at a place called Lud. He will kill him.
And that's where they established the airport.
And that's where there's an airport there. I thought it was Tel Aviv International Airport. It's a military airport there.
Okay. So in the hadith of Auf ibn Malik that we referred to earlier, he said, "Audud sittan bayna yaday as-sa'ah," count six before the hour. And he said, as we said, the first one was his passing, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then he mentioned among them, "Thumma mawtatan ya'khudhu fikum kakwaasi ghanam." Thumma mawtani ya'khudhu fikum kakwaasi ghanam. Then death, which is, you know, like very widespread death, mawtan, ya'khudhu fikum, that it will prevail over you or attack you like a disease called qu'as that attacks the sheep or the the cattle, and فَيُسِيهُ مِنْ أَنُوفِيَ شَيْءٌ فَتَمُوتُ فَجْأَ, so that something comes out from their nose, pulls out from their nose, and they have a sudden death. So they used to call it qu'as, كَقُعَاس الْغَنَمِ. So he said, then there will be death that will take you so suddenly. قال ابن حجر يقال أن هذه الآية ظهرت في طاعون عمواس في خلافة عمر وكان ذلك بعد فتح بيت المقدس. It is said that this sign appeared represented in the plague of Amwas during the Khilafah of Umar radiallahu anhu, and that was after conquering Bayt al-Maqdis. It happened according to the most famous report in the year 18th of Al-Hijrah. It started in Amwas and then it spread in Sham, in the lands of Sham. And in this plague there died a large number of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum and others. And it is said that the number of Muslims who died in that plague were 25,000 of the Muslims. And among the famous ones who died in that was Abu Ubaidah Amr ibn al-Jarrah, Aminu hadhi al-Ummah radiallahu anhu. Abu Ubaidah Amr ibn al-Jarrah radiallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave him the title of Aminu hadhi al-Ummah, the trustworthy of this Ummah, or the keeper, holder of the trust of this Ummah, Aminu hadhi al-Ummah. He did too? In this same way? No. Yeah, those 25,000 who died, most of them, you know, were like Sahaba or among the high ranking of the Muslims. So because it was in the beginning of their, you know, entering into and spreading in Sham. Okay, so that's number four. Now number five, istifadatul ma'i wal istighna'u an as-sadaqa. Istifadatul ma'i wal istighna'u an as-sadaqa. No, there is a couple of minutes left. Well, if you want, we can. Yeah. Maybe this is a good place to stop. So you want to go and make adhan, inshallah?
I know where
I'm going. Okay, so the fifth sign is istifadatul mali wal istighna'u an as-sadaqah, that the wealth will become so much in plenty so that people would not need the charity. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu reported that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لا تقوم الساعة حتى يكثر فيكم المال فيفيض حتى يهم رب المال من يقبله منه صدقة. He said that the hour will not come or arise until the wealth will spread among you until and becomes yafid, which means becomes no, it's like, you know, when you have a cup and you fill it, and then if you pour any more it will flow out
over the median.
Yeah, so it will overflow among you until the person who have the money will be worried about who he can give to him, to whom he can give sadaqah. وَيُدْعَ إِلَيْهِ الرَّجُلْ فَيَقُولْ لَا إِرْبَلِيْفِي. And people will be called, come here and take some money, and he say, I don't need it. وَعَنْ أَبِي مُوسَى رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ. Also Abu Musa radiallahu anhu reported that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لِيَأْتِيَنَّ عَلَى النَّاسِ زَمَانُ يَطُوفُ الرَّجُلُ فِيهِ بِالصَّدَقَةِ مِنَ الذَّهَبِ ثُمَّ لَا يَجِدُ أَحَدًا يَأْخُذُهَا مِنْهُ. There will be time when a man would go around with his sadaqah of gold, trying to find somebody to take it from him without finding anyone. And the Prophet ﷺ told that Allah will give this ummah in plenty and will open up for them the treasures of the earth, and that the possession and the dominion of his ummah will reach the east and the west corners of the earth, as in the hadith of Thawban radiallahu anhu, that he said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ زَوَى لِلْأَرْضِ. Allah has gathered for me the earth. فَرَأَيْتُ مَشَارِقَهُ وَمَغَارِبَهَا. So I was able to see the east and west sides or corners of it. وَإِنَّ أُمَّتِي سَيَبْلُغُ مُلْكُهَا مَا زُوِيَ لِي مِنْهَا. And the dominion of my ummah will cover what has been gathered for me of that, which means from east to west. وَعَطِيتُ الْكَنْزَيْنِ الْأَحْمَرَ وَالْأَبْيَضِ. And I have been given, that is my ummah, the two treasures, the red and the yellow, red and the white. And Allah A'lam was the red and the white. It could be red referring to gold and white referring to silver. I have been given, that is, all forms of wealth. That is, this ummah will be given all forms of wealth. And he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَإِنِّي قَدْ أُعْطِيتُ مَفَاتِيحَ خَزَائِنِ الْأَرْضِ. I have been given the keys to the gates of the earth, أو مَفَاتِيحَ الْأَرْضِ, or the keys of the earth, which means the treasures, of course. وَعَنْ عَدِي بِنْ حَاتِمْ. This is, of course, this hadith mentions some of his special attributes, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and this was one of them. Ali ibn Hatim radiallahu anhu said, بينما أنا عند النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إذ أتاه رجل فشك إليه الفاقة. He said, while I was with the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, a man came to him and complained to him about how poor he is. ثم أتاه آخر فشك إليه قطع السبيل. And another man came to him and he told him how some people are highway robbers, so they cannot travel safely from one place to the other. فقال يا عدي هل رأيت الحيرة. He said, oh Adi, do you know الحيرة? It's a town in Iraq, right? He said, لم أرها. Adi is the man who traveled a lot because he was Arabian, of course, the son of Hatim al-Ta'i. But then he embraced Christianity and he wanted to Sham, and he was a man who traveled all over. So he said, did you see الحيرة? He said, no, I didn't see it. وقد أنبئت عنها, but I was told about it. It was described to me where it is or how it is and so on. He said, فإن طالت بك حياة لترين الضعينة ترتحل من الحيرة حتى تطوف بالكعبة لا تخاف أحدا إلا الله. He said, if you live long enough, you will see the animal traveling from Hira to Zaina. Allah A'lam is traveling from Hira until it reaches Kaaba, fearing nothing except, which means the people, of course, who ride on them, not the Ibn itself, not fearing anyone except Allah, which means there will not be any highway robbers who will be stopping the people and robbing them. قلت فيما بيني وبين نفسي فأين دعار طيء الذين قد سعروا البلاد. He said to himself, where are the du'ar? Du'ar is the plural of da'ir. الدائر هو الخبيث المفسد والمراد بهم هنا قطاع الطريق. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. هو الخبيث المفسد. That's why you say دعارة. You know دعارة is prostitution. In Arabic it is دعارة. It means the profession which is خبيث. خبيث means
despicable.
Yeah, خبث. What is خبث?
Despicable.
Despicable and مفسد, which means those who cause evil on earth. That which causes evil on earth. So دعار طيء are those who cause evil and who you know rub the people. He said, where are the دعار طيء? He knows his tribe. So he knows that some of his tribe are like that. They are highway robbers. So he said, what will happen? He said to himself, what will happen to those people وقد سعروا البلاد, who have done so much destruction or harm on earth. He said, وَلَا إِن طَالَتْ بِكَ حَيَاةٌ لَتُفْتَحَنَّ كُنُوزُ كُسْرَى. He said, and if you live long enough, you will find that the treasures of Kisra will be opened. Which means Kisra is, what's his name in English?
The emperor of
whatever, the Persian emperor at that time, his treasures will be opened up, and that is will be taken by the Muslims. قلتُ كِسْرَى بن هرمز. He said, is it كِسْرَى بن هرمز, whatever his name was and his name of his father? He said, yes, كِسْرَى بن هرمز. وَلَئِنْ طَالَتْ بِكَ حَيَاةٌ لَتَرَيَنَّ الرَّجُلَ يُخْرِجُ مِنْ أَكَفَّيْهِ مِنْ ذَهَبٍ أَوْ فِضَّةٍ يَطْلُبُ مَنْ يَقْبَلُهُ مِنْهُ فَلَا يَجِدُ أَحَدًا يَقْبَلُهُ مِنْهُ. And if you, he said yes, and if you live long enough, you'll find a man taking out from his wealth, if the filling of his hands, filling his the fill of his two palms, of gold and silver, and trying to find somebody to accept it from him, and not able to find anyone. It sounds like our time, right?
this is something, yeah. We should think about it, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opened the, let the Muslims inherit the Roman Empire and the Persian Empire, and you see how wealthy they were.
Allahu Akbar.
I mean, the Arab, the Bedouin who has nothing, he was barefooted, you know, he has no dress, and you remember the story of Rabi' ibn Amir.
Yeah.
They were very poor, and they were, after a few years, they were giving. Trying to find someone to take their
sadaqah.
This is something we should think about.
Allah.
But that was the days when everybody was in much more obedience to Allah.
Of course.
So now we find ourselves in our state, for lack of it.
Even though they don't want it, they will take it.
Oh yeah. Even though they don't need it.
They will take it.
So a lot of this, قال عدي. No, we are not yet done yet. He said, قال عدي. فرأيت الضعينة ترتحل من الحيرة حتى تطوف بالكعبة لا تخاف إلا الله. And I have seen Ali after the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم by many years, he says, I have seen this fulfilled. I have seen the animal travel from Hira to Mecca, fearing no one but Allah. وكنت في من افتتح كنوز كسرى بن هرمز. And I was among those who have opened up the treasures of Kisra bin Hormuz. وَلَئِنْ طَالَتْ بِكُمْ حَيَاةٌ لَتَرَوُنَّ مَا قَالَ النَّبِيُّ أَبُو الْقَاسِمِ يُخْرِجُ مِنْ أَكَفَّيْهِ. He said, and if you live long enough, you will see the last thing, that is which Abu al-Qasim, the Prophet ﷺ said, which is that the one will be giving this much of gold and silver in sadaqah. You know, imagine how wealthy is the one who will be giving that much of zakah every year, of filling his hands of gold and silver. That means if this is 2.5%, that means they have about 50 times more, or 40 times to be exact, more than that in gold and silver. 40 or more?
More than that, because it's
2.5%. Yeah, it'll be 40,
so
right?
It'll be
1/2 is 40. 40 times as much, right?
2.5%, I thought, would be of 100. So therefore,
anyways, we can use.
I thought it'd be like 90 times more or something.
It's the reciprocal of 1.025. Okay.
we rely on a mathematician.
Whatever that is. So check your calculators.
This sign happened during Ramadan.
Abd al-Aziz, yeah. Yeah, I think it'll be mentioned here, Allahumma.
100 years after the Prophet's death,
so,
after the Hijrah.
So he says, you will see this. Of course, I mean these Sahaba, as we should, as everybody should be, but they believed in the words of the Prophet ﷺ in the best manner. So he said, this last thing will definitely happen. So a lot of what the Prophet have foretold in that regard has occurred. So the wealth became widespread at the time of Sahaba radiallahu anhum because of all these conquerors that they had, and they divided among them the wealth of Persia and the Romans, and then the wealth became so much in plenty at the time of Umar bin Abdul Aziz rahimahullah, so that they were not able to find those who would take the charity from them. And at the end of time, the wealth will become so much in plenty that a man would try to give somebody his wealth and he would say, I do not need it. And he says, the author here says, this, Allahu A'lam, will happen at the time of Al-Mahdi and Isa alayhi salam, min kathrat al-amwal wa ikhraj al-ard li barakatiha wa kunuziha. That means after Mahdi, because that will happen after Mahdi dies, and then Isa, and after Ya'juj and Ma'juj. That is when the earth will bring out its barakah, its blessing, and its treasures.
Yeah, but we don't know when Mahdi will die.
He says he lived 7 years.
Yeah, maybe he will appear a year before Isa.
Yeah, maybe.
Because the Prophet ﷺ said it, said in the hadith that in ummati khalifa yahtim ma la hatin wa la ya'adhu
adha. Yeah. It could be Umar ibn Aziz. It could be him, Allahu A'lam, yeah.
You're right. What?
We'll get to this, inshallah. That there will be a khalifa, a ruler of my ummah, a successor, who will pile up the wealth without being able to count it. So it'll be so much.
So,
but this happened for many, like for Harun al-Rashid.
Is this going to happen again? Is that what you're saying? That this thing, this sign.
No, what he's saying is that the thing about that nobody will accept the sadaqah, this may happen at the time of Isa alayhi salam, when the treasures of the earth will come out, so that there will be.
So it's going to happen again. So it's happened, it may happen again.
No, or that what happened is that it did not get to the stage where they would not. Yeah, maybe it will happen again. Allahu A'lam. Even though he does not.
Didn't it happen during Omar's time also? Not the first Omar.
Yeah, that's what we said.
No, I'm talking about the first.
No, Al-Aziz. It was still building, you know, mm-hmm. Still spreading and conquering and so on. And in the hadith of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, تَقِيءُ الْأَرْضُ أَفْلَاذَ كَبَدِهَا مِثْلَ الْأُسْطُوَانِ مِنَ الذَّهَبِ وَالْفِضَّةِ. He said, the earth will spit out or vomit out whatever is hidden in its within it, you know, discs of gold and silver, which means lots of gold and silver will come out from the earth. فَيَجِيءُ الْقَاتِلُ فَيَقُولُ فِي هَذَا قَتَلْتُ. So the killer will come and say, this is what I was killing people about, and now it's coming out so easily on the surface of the earth. وَيَجِيءُ الْقَاتِلُ فَيَقُولُ فِي هَذَا قَطَعْتُ رَحِمِ. And the one who severed his ties with his relatives, he'll say, this is what I was, you know, hating people about, or severing my ties for the sake of. وَيَجِيءُ السَّارِقُ فَيَقُولْ فِي هَذَا قَطَعْتُ يَدِي. The robber will say, because of this, I had my hand cut. ثُمَّ يَدْعُونَهُ فَلَا يَأْخُذُونَ مِنْهُ شَيْئًا. And all of those who used to kill and steal and hate and fight for this wealth, they will leave it and not take any of it. Which means there will be a time where all these treasures will be on the surface of the earth instead of being hidden, and people will need to seek and search for them. This hadith is in Sahih Muslim.
Will not need to seek and search for
them. Ibn Hajar rahimahullah said that it is possible that the people will be in no need for the wealth, استغناء الناس عن المال وتركهم له, وقت خروج النار واشتغال الناس بأمر الحشر. It's at the time he assumes it is at the time when the fire will come out that will cause people to run away to the place where they will be resurrected or gathered for the dooms for all of them. فلا يلتفت أحد حينئذ المال بل يقصد أن يتخفف ما استطاع. So they would not care about wealth at that time, but their whole concern would be to make their load as light as possible so that they can run away from this fire which is coming close to them. And what Ibn Hajar mentioned about that does not contradict that they would not care about it for another reason as well, which is that wealth will be in such great amounts as would happen at the time of Al-Mahdi and Isa alayhi salam. So it could be that the disconcern about wealth would be for various reasons in two different times, like the time of Isa al-Mahdi and the time at the end of time, at the time of resurrection. So this was the fifth sign, and by covering these five signs we covered about, you know, out of 57, about 5 or 4% of the total number that we would like to cover. So inshallah we will stop here. The sixth, there's no time because we only have 5 minutes for Isha. The sixth, I leave it as a attraction for next time, inshallah.
Make it suspense. You have to come here next time.
Make it.
This is an incentive to come up.
Yeah, and be here on time.
I don't think it's the same hadith. He doesn't do the same hadith for it. I don't find it complete here. So it's complete or somewhere else.
Yeah.
Okay. Any questions? We have a couple of minutes if you like.
I think someone was asking what's the sixth one?
Other than this question. Because I'm trying to find the full text of this hadith.
There is a comment for Al-Hira was the capital city of the Persian at that time.
Okay.
Persian time. And there was also, it was on, it is, yes, it doesn't exist now, but it used to have palaces, and it was the capital of the Persian Empire. And it used to be in the west side of Euphrates.
West side, okay.
Yeah. Like northern of Kufa or something. Like
okay.
And Lud in Arabic is actually Lod in
Lud.
English.
Lud. L-O-L-O-D-D.
In English it's Lod, I think.
Yeah, Lod. Mm. L-O.
Where the Dajjal is going to meet his end, inshallah.
The military airport.
Yeah. It
used to be a village.
No, it was a
town, city. لا بعفية أمون أدي تقريبا. Okay, we can, you know, we can benefit from them. There are other benefits. So now we benefit that Hira was the capital of the Persian Empire before Islam.
Could we have a summary of the rest of this session? I mean, just quick touch points of what we.
A summary. This is the fourth meeting. We are covering Ashraat al-Sa'ah. And today we covered five. We try at least to cover the minor signs, because I'm sure the major signs have been covered in other classes before. But we'll be covering the minor signs, the Ashraat al-Sughra, and we started by an introduction over 3 weeks, which was a preparation for the understanding of the signs of the hour. And now today we started with these signs, so we covered five of them. And these five were first the coming of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The second was his passing. The third was
his passing. Yeah, his
passing. Yeah, that was the second.
Count his coming.
Yeah, that was number one. Qudum Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was number one. His passing was number two. What was number three?
Oh, well, we covered
Fatah Bayt al-Maqdis, conquering Bayt al-Maqdis. Number four, the plague of Amwas. And number five, Well, we just finished.
Abundance
of what? So that's a summary of the sessions, the three sessions, four sessions. Took 2 minutes. Yeah, we mentioned this. This was number five. Abundance of wealth.
Who is the one of the Sahaba that Prophet said that he will take Kisra's
bracelet.
The basis of Kisra?
Yeah, who is the Sahaba?
That's the one who killed his uncle. Wahshi.
No.
Is that Wahshi? Yeah, Wahshi.
Suraq
al-Malik. Oh yeah, Suraq al-Malik, you're right.
Suraq al-Malik.
You're right. But Wahshi was one of the people who were there, right?
Wahshi is the one who killed Husayn al-Kathab.
No. Wahshi is the one who killed Hamza,
alayhi salam. Yeah, and he killed Husayn
al-Kathab. Okay, probably.
He became Muslim?
Yeah.
He came to the Prophet as a Muslim. And Prophet said, because of his love to Hamza, he says, he accepted from him, and he said, go away in the earth, I don't want to see you. Don't show me your face again. So he used always to come to the Masjid and hide himself from the Prophet. Because Prophet does not want to see his face, and remember Hamza, his beloved uncle. Because this guy, Wahshi, was a disbeliever, and he killed the uncle of the Prophet.
Your principle, you can take back your principle. لا تظلمون ولا تظلمون. You are not, no injustice is incurred to you, nor you can incur injustice towards other people. So he's bringing this to show that you have to return the whatever additional money or whatever injustice you have done towards other people. But also, of course, one should stop committing the sin. Otherwise, I mean, this is the meaning of repentance, that the person considers this a great sin and therefore he has to stop it. The sixth condition, or seventh, depending on how you are counting, is that the person should repent before Gharghara, which means before death comes to him. As Allah Azza wa Jal says, in the ayah that we read earlier from Surah An-Nisa, وَلَيْسَتِ التَّوْبَةُ لِلَّذِينَ يَعْمَلُونَ السَّيِّئَاتِ حَتَّى إِذَا حَضَرَ أَحَدَهُمُ الْمَوْتُ قَالَتْ إِنِّي تُبْتُ الْآنَ. Repentance is not for those who continue committing sins until when death comes to them, they say, now I repent. And as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَقْبَلُ تَوْبَةَ الْعَبْدِ مَا لَمْ يُغَرْغِرْ, which means Allah accepts a abd's repentance as long as he does not reach the gurgling stage, that is one, you know, at the time of death, when he starts making this noise, like, you know, when you put water in your mouth and you start washing your mouth, you know, mouthwash or something like that, that sound is called gharghara in Arabic and gurgling in English. So at the time of death, people, maybe most people, make this sound, this gurgling sound, when their soul is about to depart from their body. So this is recorded in Tirmidhi, Ibn Majah and others, and it is in Sahih al-Jami. Allah Azza wa Jal says about Fir'aun, وَجَاوَزْنَا بِبَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ الْبَحْرَ فَأَدْمَعُ فِرْعَوْنَ جُنُودُهُ بَغْيًا. So when he was about to be drowned, Fir'aun, he said, حَتَّى إِذَا أَدْرَكَهُ الْغَرَقُ قَالَ آمَنْتُ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا الَّذِي آمَنَتْ بِهِ بَنُو إِسْرَائِيلَ وَأَنَا مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. الآن وقد عصيت قبل وكنت من المفسدين. So when he was about to be drawn, he said, now I believe that there is no God except the one with whom, in whom the children of Israel believe. And I am one of the Muslims. So Allah told him, is it now when you have disobeyed prior to this? So which means too late now. Now it is too late. Now you are at the stage of death. And now you are saying that you believe. And as there is a hadith related to this, which is the hadith of Jibreel, that inshallah maybe we can discuss it in a little bit after the class, that he wanted to stop him from saying this, from hoping that the mercy will not he will not be engulfed by Allah's mercy because of what he said. The seventh condition is that one should repent before the sun comes from the west, as we said earlier. And the second, now the additional conditions which come after repentance.